Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many more. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all. Yes, yes, yes. Hail and hello, and welcome to you all. Thank you so much again for listening and tuning in to this week's Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. It's good to see you all back again. I hope you've all had a great weekend. You know, getting ready for the weekend coming up. Seems like those days just keep on a coming, guys. They just keep on coming. But anyways, yes, thanks for tuning in. Got a fun episode lined up for us today. Another listener supporter request. I'm going to be doing the next few episodes with some suggestions that you fine folks have given me through a recent Facebook post. I believe they got shared on Instagram. I don't know. I'm having some questionable things happening with my Instagram that's linked to the Midgard Musings Facebook page. I don't have like the app. I don't download the app or whatever. So all the stuff that I see is done through the Facebook or Metaverse or whatever they call it now. Analytics, you know, and they're constantly changing things. So hopefully it's all still going to Instagram, but figure that part out later. But yeah, I'm getting some, or have gotten some really good suggestions on topics of discussions for these ramblings. So the next, I don't know, couple of episodes or so at least are going to contain your requests, and I openly welcome them at any point in time. You know, so as we mentioned in the intro, if you want to toss me a topic for discussion, you can write into midgardmusingstn@gmail.com. You can at me on Twitter. You can DM me on Facebook. I don't get the DMs on Instagram, so that's out of the question. You can also comment in the description area of this YouTube video if you're watching the podcast on YouTube, or call into the Midgard Musings hotline, 615-671-9832. So before we get into the topic of discussion, we are going to, of course, light incense, and I got a different drink that I'm going to pour for us today. For myself today. You guys aren't having any because obviously I'm here by myself, but you're going to see me drink a different drink today. But today's incense sticks that I selected on this beautiful incense and candle light tea candle holder and incense burner. We've got a balsam stick and a ginseng and green tea, I believe. So we'll see how those two pair with each other. We'll see how that goes. I think that one's lit. Yeah, that one's lit. Now let's give this one a go. Okay. Yeah, that'll work. Beautiful. Beautiful. And aromatic. That balsam and the ginseng and green tea combos are quite lovely. So we got that out the way. Now,
this next thing, my drink. and yeah, you guys can give me crap all you want. This is a like a beer stein. I'm not drinking beer. Obviously, if I was, that'd be some pretty thick and red beer. But this is not what you think it is. This is definitely not blood, although it is the makings of a Bloody Mary. I have not added the vodka yet. This is a pretty spicy one. I forget the brand. I've had this one before. I picked it up a while ago, and it's quite tangy. Threw a little bit of lime juice in there, but this is the piece de resistance, as they say in places that say such things, the vodka. So this is comical. It's a novelty item, obviously. But this is Russian vodka. Vodka 18, product of Russia. That's all it says, but it's obviously shaped in the style of an AK-47 assault rifle. It's almost all gone. This was a gift from my friend who is originally from Belarus, and he lives here in the States now. He lives in Nashville, actually, and he's been my good friend for probably close to 20 years. I've not made a Bloody Mary with this yet. They say, I guess you can get these things readily available in the States. I'm not a vodka drinker, so I can't say for sure that I've seen one of these, but apparently they're not too uncommon. But I thought the thing was really nifty. Of course, I'm going to save it. And I've drank most of it already. Just, I do like pickleback shots, or as in Russia, vodka и огурцы is the vodka and pickles. It's a tradition, I think, specifically during like the New Year celebration. So like during New Year's, instead of champagne, they're drinking vodka and pickles. But it's a really good combination. So it's not like your typical whiskey pickleback, where you take a shot of whiskey and then a shot of pickle juice or pickle brine. It's dill pickle, of course. It's not that bread and butter sugary stuff. But this is, again, why most of it's gone. So we're just going to go ahead and, you know, add an amount. We don't measure things around here. We just pour until our ancestors tell us to stop. That's probably about good. Probably about equal parts mixer and booze. This is not the traditional way to fix a Bloody Mary, of course. I know that. Let's just go ahead and give that a little spin. That might actually, I'm not going to believe myself for saying this, but that might even be a little bit too much vodka. Nah, not really. So anyway, there it is now. It's a lot different looking than it was before, but still pretty bloody looking. So, yeah, that was probably, for most people anyway, that's way too much. That's way too much vodka. The vodka really comes through on this, but I like my drinks strong, and I want to taste, you know, more than just the mixer on things. Otherwise, it's not even, it's pointless, I guess. It is, you know, if I'm not going to taste the booze, then why is even the booze in there? So it's a ridiculous thing. There's no ice. I didn't shake it. I didn't, you know, add the rim glass, you know, seasoning around the glass, the celery, the horseradish, the this and that. It's just a real quick thing because it's all I've got in the house right now. Got to go out and restock my scotch supply. So it's a Bloody Mary today. And since this is a airing during the morning hours of Thursday, this is when the podcast airs. It looks a little bit more realistic, right? We're drinking Bloody Marys. It's a popular breakfast or brunch beverage. It's one of my favorite brunch breakfasts. I'm not a brunch or breakfast drinks, I should say. I said that the drink was a breakfast, which, I mean, I guess you could make it a breakfast. It's got your, you know, vegetables. It's got your grain and the alcohol. It's got your fruit with the lime. And if you're going to add other things to it, like, you know, any other sort of accessories, that I've seen beef stick, I've seen pepperonis, I've seen you know, sausages. I've seen jerky. There's a place around here that I want to try. It's, they got a whole freaking chicken inside of the thing. It's like 55 ounces of fishbowl drink with a whole fried chicken dumped in there. But that's not what today's topic of discussion is. And I appreciate you guys and gals out here indulging me while I talk a bit about my Bloody Mary that, you know, I'm having. But today's topic of discussion is a viewer request. And I won't say the last names, but I'm just going to say this is a request from Kristen on the Facebook post from a couple of weeks back, wherein I asked, hey, what do you guys want to hear? Rambling on the podcast. What are some of the things that you would like to hear? So the topic that Kristen was asking about is the topic of establishing a kindred or establishing a group, establishing a tribe, that sort of thing. And I've talked a lot about the importance of tribe and the importance of having groups to assemble with, you know, like-minded people who you can share in ritual with and experience the beauty of what heathenry is. So that's what today's topic is going to be about. And before we get into all that, a couple of more housekeeping things. I got two announcements to make. One is that next weekend, so the weekend of the 18th in Springfield, Tennessee. I think I mentioned this a couple of podcasts ago about Sunablot. I mentioned during the podcast, I said Spring Hill. That's wrong. This is in Springfield, which is northeast or so of Nashville. Spring Hill is south, so that would have been bad. I've been like, where is it at in Spring Hill? Well, it's not in Spring Hill, Jesse, you moron. It's in Springfield. So anyway, Springfield, Tennessee. The event link is going to be posted in the description and show notes of this podcast. So if you're interested about what I'm talking about, there you go. But anyway, it is a midsummer or summertime heathen gathering celebration hosted by the fine people of the Raven Moon Hearth Kindred, which is a Germanic heathen, Germanic polytheist group. They have a lot of public events throughout the year. They do their Feast of the Fallen, usually in the early spring. They have Sunablot, and then they have Shadowmoot towards the end of the year in like October or so. And so these are open public events. These are things that are, they welcome in not just heathens, but any other sort of eclectic pagans, neo-pagans, anybody that's just interested, curious, wants to come and check them out. This year's going to be a really fun turnout, I think. I know the chieftain, Greg, he's a good friend of mine and has been on this channel, the YouTube channel before. And we haven't really we may have actually talked as far as on the podcast once before. I think he may have been on the podcast, but if you guys are on the YouTube channel, go to my YouTube channel, Midgard Musings. And just search my video catalog for anything to do with Greg Strong or Raven Moon Hearth, and you'll see. But he's a great guy. They've got games. They've got a ritual planned. They're opening up camping to those folks who want to stay, you know, late overnight, enjoy their drink and stuff like that, and still be safe without having to worry about traveling, you know. But it is going to be there in Springfield. I'm not staying the whole night, but I will be there on Saturday, June 18th. My wife and I are going, and hopefully other folks associated and members of my tribe, Clearwithy folk. So it's going to be a fun kind of intertribal gathering. I will be there offering rune readings for a nominal fee. So for $10, you show up, you get a ticket for the event through Raven Moon Hearth. They have a PayPal ticket link. That's going to be, again, shared in the event description, you know, the event details in the description below. So I think like a day pass is 20. The weekend, if you're going to stay over Saturday into Sunday, is 25. And it also covers your, you know, they're going to be cooking. They're going to have food. And it's all, you know, provided by the hosts and hostesses and such. So that covers your lodging and meal for the next day. So I will be, of course, asking for a nominal $10 fee for rune readings while we're there. That does help, of course, support the podcast. It helps support the channel, helps support what I do here on this. So I hope to see folks there. If you guys are in the area and you're willing to travel a little bit, even if you're outside of the immediate Nashville or Middle Tennessee area, I do know some folks who are coming from outside, as far as like, you know, the Fort Campbell, Clarksville, Tennessee area, possibly those coming in from out of state, Kentucky. Not sure about where else, maybe out east in Tennessee, like the Chattanooga-ish area, perhaps. But yeah, wherever you guys are, I do hope that if you're in a close enough proximity that you'll be able to make it. And if you do, please let me know that you know me through the page or know me through the podcast or the channel or whatever. I'd love to get some photos with people, you know, get introduced to you folks in person. Should be a fun time. So that is, again, next Saturday, June 18th. And then the Sunday after that, here in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area, we will be having a public moot or meetup. We call them the Middle Tennessee Heathens Meetup or MTH Meetup. And that is just a kind of like, hey, we're going to agree to be at a certain place at a certain time, just to be able to meet and interact with folks in the area to try to get to establish some new connections, you know, meet new faces, see old friends, reacquaint ourselves with each other. We used to do these things on a somewhat regular basis several years ago, before the world got flipped upside down with the pandemic and all that. And it's been a long time since we've done them. So we're excited to reintroduce that. That's going to be at the McAllister's Deli on Medical Center Parkway in Murfreesboro. So again, if you are close enough or in the area and you're just wanting to come out and meet, say hi, have a bite to eat at the deli. They do have really good food, and it's a nice, relaxing and very casual place to assemble and meet new people and just kind of get a chance to, you know what it's, know what's going on in the area. Even if you're not heathen, you know, if you're heathen curious, if you're of another type of a pagan, non-Germanic pagan, you know, Celtic pagans. I know we have some Roman Reconstructionists in the MTH group. Would love to meet different folks and know what your backgrounds are and just generally have a nice time of getting to know each other and build our community. All right. So I think that's all the housekeeping stuff. As you guys are listening and watching, don't forget that you can support Midgard Musings in many different ways. The Linktree link that's posted in the description and show notes of all of these podcasts is the easiest way for you to know how to support. There's Patreon, there's merchandise, there's channel memberships, all that fun stuff. So check all that out along the way as we go. But let's jump in to the topic of today, which is establishing a kindred. People are wondering, at least Kristen is, wants to know about establishing a kindred and I guess, you know, what it takes. And it's a good question, but it's a loaded question. So we're going to just ramble on for a bit and kind of just, you know, maybe hit some of the more important points of it all. All right. So anytime that I hear about, you know, folks interested in starting something like a kindred or we'll use the term kindred and we'll use the term tribe kind of interchangeably in most instances of Germanic heathenry, the kindred model, does have a lot of similarities or familiarities to what you would see in like a church structure, you know. It's built very similarly, whereas the tribal approach to things is a bit more organic. I feel like there's definitely organizational structure to that group. And a lot of times people will just call themselves, you know, whoops, bump the mic a bit. They'll call themselves a kindred and approach a very tribal style of heathenry and working together and being a group. But I think that no matter what you call yourselves, whatever the title you put to the group. It's, you know, it's a collective of people, of like-minded people, who are wanting to have a close-knit group of individuals, families even, to share in ritual with, to share in events with, you know, go out on outings, you know, whether it be camping, hiking, dinner events, you know, rituals, celebrations of heathen or pagan, holy tides, holidays, that sort of thing, and have a group to be able to do that with that you know and trust. And that's very important, especially in Germanic heathenry, because I, again, so much of what I feel I've come to realize over the years of my pagan journey as a heathen is the importance of tribe and the importance of having people who you know and trust that you've built and established weird and frith with. You know, you've tied weird, I should say, the weird is already there, but you've tied each other's weird together. Your webs have interwoven, and there is frith that is established, the mutual sense of obligation to each other. So some of the important things I think to remember when considering that is, as with most things, need to be looked at. What is the purpose, right? What is your purpose of establishing a kindred or a tribe? I think it should start with that. Why do you want to do this? And if it's, you know, if you've already had that established, if you're like, well, I already know why, I just need to figure out the mechanics of it all and the logistics of it all, then that's great. But I'll use, you know, the Middle Tennessee Heathens Facebook group as an example. We have a Facebook group that is an open online community. Yes, it is a private Facebook group because it is needed to be such in order to vet membership requests. You know, it's a very simple vetting process where, you know, instead of just letting everybody and anybody join a group and potentially spam or you know, share information that is volatile or try to promote or push any sort of, you know, negative, bigoted nastiness, you know, in an online community. We have, you know, certain questions. So, you know, you're going to agree to these rules? Are you going to be supportive of people regardless of their, you know, political and sexual orientations and all that kind of stuff? Are you going to agree not to post anything racist? You know, all these types of like checks and balances that you have to put in place for running or having an online community nowadays. Stuff like that is important. But in terms of actually the doing of the kindred type stuff, I'm seeing, and the reason why I mentioned the Middle Tennessee Heathens group is I see one of the membership questions to join is, are you currently a single or solitary practitioner, or are you a member of a kindred slash tribe? And if not, are you looking to be part of one? You know, so it's like a multiple choice question. I am either a solitary practitioner, I am a part of a member, I am a member or part of a kindred or tribe, or I am not a member but looking. And I would say that most of the people that request to join MTH are not members of a tribe or kindred, but they're looking. They're looking to be part of something. So for folks that are looking to be part of something in their area that maybe they don't have something established, they may look to establish it themselves. So that could be a good reason why, you know, there's really nothing in my area, you know, or what is in my area doesn't fit the type of heathen that I am. And it doesn't line up with the, you know, the approach that I want to take and my spirituality and in my religious observances of this folk way and so forth. So once you get past all of that, once you get past the basics of it, I think it's going to be a little bit different for each individual or for each group of people. Maybe it's a collective of friends, of people who have known each other for many, many years that are close and near and dear, almost like kin to each other, much like Clarity Folk has started to be. You know, this was a collective of individuals who agreed to formulate this tribe with the same goals in mind, you know, to have a Germanic pagan tribe in the area that focuses on observing, you know, the heathen holy tides, as attested to in some of the historical sources, like how we observe our historical Yule, how we observe our the historical references to Sigrablot, and how we and when we do all these things. Winter nights, another one, right? So once all of that has been established, then comes the time of right now, what do we do to establish it? And this is where I feel, as modern heathens, we have a lot of opportunity to utilize the various online resources that are available to us for good. There is no tribe just online, right? There's no way that we can recreate the true meaning of tribes and kindreds online. You can have Facebook groups, you can have Discord servers, you can run those various online forums to be a sort of like hub, a digital hub, as it were, or a digital meeting place for folks. But you're not going to have the true interpersonal tribal relations online without having something brick and mortar, without something grassroots existing to experience that. It's just like with some of the pagan events that occur in the area, right around us in Nashville or the Middle Tennessee area. You know, Raven Moon Hearth has their public events. Nashville Pagan Pride is another one. The organizers and individuals who rally around to organize the Nashville Pagan Pride Day and the Pagan Unity Festival, which actually just recently, you know, wrapped up. PUF is a huge gathering, a festival, a pagan festival with a bunch of craftsmen and women, vendors, workshops, public rituals, things that are led. A great work in getting people together at the grassroots level, the in-person level. You can't recreate that same feeling by just having it online. And I remember vaguely during the pandemic, or shortly after the pandemic started, maybe even been that year when PUF, the Pagan Unity Festival folks, decided to do their thing online, mainly online, because of all of the restrictions that were in place, the quarantines, the, you know, you can't meet at places. There's all these, you know, guided rules and stuff that, you know, prevented us from getting together. They did something, I believe, mostly through like Zoom. And there was, I mean, I didn't go. I wasn't an attendee. I just remember sitting back and watching and kind of like hearing some of the things that took place. And I mean, there was a lot of challenges about all, you know, that they endured throughout all that. And there was a lot of negative feedback, you know, not that they didn't do their best, not that they couldn't, you know, accomplish what they were trying to accomplish, but just the, I think, It proved to me, right, that stuff like what we're trying to do, the whether it's PUF or Nashville Pagan Pride or Raven Moon Hearth and their public events or these Middle Tennessee heathen meetups or establishing a tribe or a kindred, right? It proves to me that you all this online stuff only goes so far. When you're actually trying to do the heathen thing or trying to be the pagan, you know, organize those pagan get-togethers and stuff like that, there's no way to effectively do that by just having it online. So that's a good thing, you know, because a lot of people might think, well, it's, you know, it's easier to gather when, you know, you don't have to worry about driving to a place or meeting at a certain place. That's part of the experience. That's part of it. That's part of why it works so well, is because if you can't step out of your little bubble there, if you're not willing to go out and meet new people, and how worthy are you to actually be a part of something? You know, if you're too reclusive, if you're too secluded, if you're too solitary. And again, not to take away from those that are solitary practitioners, if that's, you know, the way you like to be a pagan, then by all means, don't stop. I'm just, you know, saying that for those that are looking to be a part of something, to be a part of it means you're gonna have to be a part of something in person. There has to be that in place. So how does that whole thing get kicked off? How do you start all that? You can use these online platforms, right? You can establish things like, hey, this group is going to be here at a certain date and time, kind of like these Middle Tennessee Heathen group meetups that we have, we're going to be there at a certain date and time, you know, just to like grab a bite to eat, or we're going to play pool, or we're going to, you know, go for a hike or whatever, and come on out and meet us. And then when you get to meet people, that is when the seeds get planted. That is when you start to determine the caliber and measure the caliber of people in your area. And you're going to be able to know that these are the types of people that I want to have more events with, that I want to tie more of my weird with. And then hopefully you're the type of person then that they want to share and tie more of their lives with. And then next thing you know, the natural organic growth into things closer knit than just an overall community. Because what some people I think get, or what some groups can potentially get into the trap of, is when they establish this online, you know, Facebook group or Discord server or online chat room or whatever, you know, you could the barriers, the lines between what it is and what you're trying to do get lost, right? The Middle Tennessee Heathens group is not what Clearly Folk is. Yes, there are members of Clearly Folk in that group. There are also members of other tribes in that group. It's just that digital hub. It's just that digital meeting place of, oh, wow, you guys are in Middle Tennessee. Okay, well, we're in West Tennessee, or we're in East Tennessee, or we're a little bit north of you or south of you, right? And no, you guys are doing something. Well, cool. I'm coming and I'm bringing, you know, a few of my tribesmen and women, or I'm bringing some of my group to meet, and let's get to know each other a bit, right? That's what those things are for. It's not to replace the existing or attempt to formulate and establish something. So bear that in mind too. Don't get lost in the fact that, oh, I've got a Facebook group of 500 people and that's my tribe. No, that's your online group. You know what I mean? That's a bunch of different people who are agreeing to common rules and have commonalities amongst each other. And, you know, who knows how many of those X amount of hundreds of people or dozens of people that are in that group would end up being worth to become part of your tribe, or become part of the tribe that is, you know, established. One other thing too, is that once you start getting to know people, you know, because again, relationships start from meeting of strangers, you know? So there's that bubble that you kind of have to step out of. Some of us out here are solitary because of our uncomfortableness with dealing with other people, you know, and getting to know other people. It makes us uncomfortable to branch out and get to talk to people and all that. And I get that. But the nice thing is that, especially if you're starting something yourself and you're being the one to initiate it, you set the ground rules, right? If you're comfortable in a very public area, like a Starbucks or a deli or a restaurant or whatever, then you've got that, you know, you set the tone. You're on your home turf, as it were, and you can be comfortable whenever you feel like you need to leave, get up, whatever. You've got that control. So anyway, once you get to know people that are strangers and you start building relationships, and then relationships become friendships, friendships are where it starts. And the friendships, the alliances, are where things can start to become into your kindred, your tribe, your group. One thing that I would definitely be sure to say is that don't try to force anything on anybody, you know? You don't want to just be like, yeah, this is a group of pagans and heathens, and oh, by the way, I'm trying to start a tribe. You want in, right? We're taking members. We're looking for members. You want to join? You want to, you know, don't treat like meetups and stuff as like a, you know, an opportunity to recruit people. That can seem a bit pushy, and it also, I think, takes away from the natural and organic way that tribe develops. Because if it's pushed, if it's forced, it's not going to last. You know, don't rush into it. Don't be like, all right, we got our first meetup out of the way. All right, and I've known these people for a week or 2 weeks or a month. Boom, let's go ahead and Let's call ourselves a tribe now. Let it happen organically, you know? And I think it's all going to depend on the work you put into it. You're going to get as much out of it as you put into it. You know, if your life, you know, your job, your relationships, your personal life, your priorities need to be in place as well. And if you're taking too much out of those other important things, like if your personal and home life is suffering just to try to develop a tribe, you got to readjust your priorities, because where you should be focusing your attention and heart on the most should be in your own hearth, under your own roof tree, however big or small that is, you know, and make sure that that is well and established. Make sure that you have a good and strong hearth cult to build off of, because that needs to exist before you can. And here's the other thing too, like kind of just branching off into other topics, but like I always see people always worried about, not all people, but I see a lot of people that have been, you know, worried about, you know, how they do this with the gods and how they sacrifice and how they blah, 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 the gods. And they've skipped to that part and not addressed, how do I establish a relationship with my ancestors? How do I gift and share space with the Vaitir? Where is my hearth cult? Do I have one? You know, a lot of us do. We just don't call it that. You may not call it a hearth cult, but, you know, from the moment you get up in the morning to how you prepare your tea or coffee and what you do throughout the day, like when you sit down to read for the evening or you know, all these little habits, all these little rituals, as you may want to call it, right? Like that's your hearth cult, man. Like that's part of your hearth cult. It's not obviously the, you know, daily habits and stuff don't necessarily constitute hearth cult, but the way that you heathen in the sanctity and in the sovereignty of your home needs to be strong. And it definitely needs to be strong if you're going to think about either joining or starting your own kindred or tribe, because without that strength at home, without those roots being planted strongly and firmly there first, then you're not going to have anything, you know, strong to establish or build off of later. So meetups are a great way of doing it, using your online presence, using online forums to ask, like, hey guys, I'm going to be in this area. If you know anybody, come say hi. I'd love to meet the folks in my area. Start with that. And then as friendships build, as alliances are tied, maybe you know, start talking about things. And next thing you know, there's more and more commonalities. And then, you know, the conversation ventures into, well, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to establish something that is a grassroots tribe or kindred of like-minded folks. And next thing you know, wow, the other person's like, dude, I've been looking for something like that. I would love to be a part of that. What do you need me to do? How can I help? Oh, I know this, that, and the other person. I can, you know, we can, you know, get books together. We can have regular meetings. We can, you know, start networking like that, but it has to start organically. It has to start, you know, with meeting people first and establishing those alliances and those friendships first, and letting it grow organically. I can't stress that enough, guys. Don't push for, oh man, it's been 3 months and I don't have a tribe yet. I mean, you set yourself some goals, but don't try to force the tree to grow too quickly beyond what it should take to grow naturally. Because the reason why things take so long to establish, the reason why things may seem a bit drawn out, and you know, you may be feeling discouraged, is you're not seeing the growth take place up above, because things are happening underneath the surfaces. Roots are being established, precedence is being set, you know, the foundation is being laid, all that stuff that happens subterraneously, like it's happening under the surface. You're not going to see the oak tree grow into a mighty and strong 50 foot tall, you know, 30 inch round monster or whatever. And that's not even a big oak tree, but you get what I'm saying. It's, you know, you're not going to see that happen overnight. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take years. But in the meantime, what's happening underneath the surface, those roots are establishing. They're taking hold. And then that's going to allow everything up top to grow and flourish, you know? So look at it that way. Take time. So establishing a kindred should be just like establishing anything. You want to make sure that you've got a good and wholesome root system established, a strong root system, a healthy root system established before any growth can take place. And, you know, if there are other people who are of similar minds, you know, like if you have people that think of the same thing as you or think similarly enough to you that want to be the help that you need, you know, that way not one person is doing. And that's the other thing too. Tribe is about coming together to help one another. You know, it's not about one person does everything. It's about everybody has a position. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a responsibility. And all of those shared responsibilities come together to be that support system that you guys rely on. You know, that's, I think, a lot of the time why when kindreds and stuff are being established or growing, there's a lot of hurdles that take place because you're growing, man. Like you're learning about each other. You're learning about your identity as a tribe, you know? So in the young stages, it's kind of like us as individuals. And when we are young and growing, we are finding ourselves and we are establishing ourselves. And there's times when we're getting a little bit wild and crazy and we get away from who we really are because we're exploratory, we're learning, we're figuring it all out. Same thing's going to happen. You're probably not going to do the same thing in 5 years of your tribe's existence that you did the first few months of it being a thing. I can say that, you know, for the short period of time that Hurry the Folk has been a tribe, you know, our customs, our things have grown, and we're still very new. We're still very young. I mean, we're going into our, I guess, you know, really truly second year, or we just passed our second year. You know, things kind of started right around the time that the pandemic hit the world. So we've been doing things like the way we've been doing it ever since. So, you know, we're only 2 years into this. You know, I don't have the most tenured experience or, you know, and stuff to that. But I can say that as far as how our tribe was established is how I would look for anybody to want to establish anything. Take your time. Go easy. Nourish the roots, you know, and establish that with the people who you have to establish it with. If you guys are on the same page, if you're looking to accomplish the same things, or if the person who is launching it, establishing it, is a strong enough leader to take consensus from other people that are interested. You know, not everybody needs to be equals as far as all that goes, but they have that support system there is, hey, I think this is the way it should be, or I think I agree with you. I want to support you in your decision to do it that way. That's good enough too. You know, and then go from there, and then just take those small steps, you know, take those baby steps, nourish everything from the roots, and then watch the thing grow, watch it become something. And don't be afraid to prune a little bit once that growth takes place, because without pruning, without maintaining it, it's going to grow out to be something wild and crazy and out of control, you know. Storms will come through and we'll knock down some of those branches and you know, things are going to take hold that may cause some rot to set in. And you got to address it. You got to, you know, pesticides, bro, you know, things that are going to come in and damage the growth or try to, entropy, things like that, that will kind of undermine or attempt to at least undermine the growth. That's part of the growth process. That's part of it all. It's not just, oh, we dunged the tree, we planted the seed and we took care of it, we watered it, we fed it, and now there's nothing left to do. Let's just let it do its thing. No, man, once it takes off and once it starts doing its thing, then it's even, I think, more of an important thing to make sure that it's growing healthy and strong and that you're pruning it where it needs to be pruned and you're taking action when the rot sets in or when there's disease or when there's a storm that comes and knocks things loose a bit and you need to, you know, nourish some regrowth. The tribal thing, the kindred thing, it's a living, it's living. It has to be tended to in that way. And everybody has a part in it. So as long as you are organically seeking that out and not trying to force anything, then it will happen, and it will happen in its right time, and you're off to a great start. So thank you, Kristen, for that question, and I hope that this has helped you and maybe others who are looking at either joining something or starting something in your area. I hope that it's helped, and I hope that it's given you some food for thought. So that's going to wrap today's episode up, this week's episode. If you did enjoy it, on whatever platform you're listening to, if the platform prompts you for any sort of engagement, whether it's comments, upvotes, shares, you know, please do so in that way. It does help out with the various algorithms and understands that, hey, this is something that every week we need to help push out there and kick out there. Don't forget that this coming weekend, or, you know, this next coming weekend of June 18th is Sunabloat in Springfield, Tennessee, hosted by Raven Moonhearth. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing others there as well. And then the week after that on Sunday, June 26th, the MTH Heathens, you know, Middle Tennessee Heathens meetup in Murfreesboro at McAllister's Deli on Medical Center. So that wraps things up for today. I want to thank all of my patrons on Patreon. That's going to be Janet King, M. Darby, and who is it? Adam? I think it's Adam. You guys are awesome. Thank you for your ongoing patronage at the Jarl and Chieftain levels. So for, again, anybody that's listening and watching that is wanting to know more about that, the Linktree link that's posted in the description and show notes of every podcast contains the information to Patreon. So just go down there, click on that Linktree link, and visit me on Patreon to see what you get at the various patron tiers. Also, just as a reminder, you don't have to join at any major tier level. You can support Midgard Musings for as little as $1 a month at the Carl level. $1 a month, that's less than what you would spend on a cup of coffee a week. So check out those links. Don't forget to comment, share, and subscribe to Midgard Musings on YouTube. So that way you are a part of these premieres every week on Thursday mornings on the YouTube channel. Make sure all your notifications and all that are turned on so you don't miss anything. Hail and thank you to you all for once again being here on this week's episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. And until we see each other again, may the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors always smile upon you. Thank you all.